with Brother James and Sister Joanne. And Brother James asked me to that when I see you all, I should give you all a hug or greet you a greeting of love from him. And I was thinking this morning that 2 weeks later, I still haven't even seen most of you, and due to the unusual circumstances of our day, and so I just have a would be a blessing and a great joy to see all of you this morning. I do want to give you that greeting from Brother James. It's my understanding that he's since then has gone to Florida to finish up some things there before he'll be coming home, and I don't know when that will be. Well, before I begin this morning, I would be a blessing to pray and just ask for God's presence with us here this morning. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you this morning. We do thank you for your amazing works, Lord, as we consider Brother Will's testimony and the blessings, the good things that you've done in his life and in his family. And in his home, his marriage, Father, and the wonderful and marvelous works of God. We just want to lift them up to you this morning and thank you, Father. We are very grateful, Father, for what you've done in our lives, and we have a desire, Father, to faithfully serve you. And so we just ask your blessing upon the local congregation here this morning, Father, as they most of them in their homes this morning. We just ask that you would bless each one. That you would keep them, Lord, in these troublesome times, and just ask your blessing upon anyone else that may be listening in this morning. So I ask for your blessing, Father, upon your word as we share from your word this morning. We ask that you'd help us to understand it, to receive from it, to be encouraged by it, and I just pray for your help here this morning, Father. So we thank you for this opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen. I was blessed with the things that Brother Will shared this morning. Brings back a lot of memories just of my own life and the things that the Lord has done in the past 15 to 20 years. And we're just very grateful this morning. I just blessed with the change in Brother Will's life. I didn't know him that well before, but truly is a joy. It's a joy to see the smile on his face and the joy that he has in his heart. With what the Lord's done in his life. Well, this morning for a text, I'd like to share from a few verses in Hebrews chapter 12, and then we'll be going to a few other scriptures. I was thinking of the circumstances that we find ourselves in these days, with the outbreak of this coronavirus that is seems like many are dying from, and seems like a global pandemic, and there's a lot about it that we don't understand probably, and don't know what to make of it all. And yet, this morning we have the scriptures, we have the Word of God, and we just have a desire to lift up and turn our attention to the Lord this morning. I know that it's easy to give our attention to the news media and try to figure out what all is going on, but this morning we just like to look to the Lord and to be encouraged by the Word of God this morning. That's my heart, and I pray that the Lord would meet with us here and accomplish that. So as we we're going to read a few verses here in Hebrews chapter 12, and then we'll be going to some other scriptures and then coming back to Hebrews 12. But we have a few verses here in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning on verse 5, 5 to 8. It says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. We'll stop reading there for now. I'd like to draw our attention to verse 5 and a couple of the phrases there. We have two different things there that we're exhorted. We're exhorted to despise not the chastening of the Lord. And we're encouraged in the last sentence to nor faint when we are rebuked of him. And so I'd like to primarily focus on those two things this morning. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. And then it says to faint not when we are rebuked of him. But as a foundation to these thoughts this morning, before we go any further with that, we're going to turn back to Psalm 103, a very familiar scripture, and get a few opening thoughts from there. I know this is a very familiar passage, but I was thinking this morning, it spoke to me as I was just considering. I know there's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of anxiety in the world today, perhaps a lot of fear, and for many people, others seem to perhaps maybe not think of it very, take it very seriously. Some think that it's more of a political things going on and all of that, and I don't know what to make of all that. But this morning, I just want to turn our attention to the Lord. And if we could just consider with me, I was thinking here of these words in Psalm 103. I know these are very familiar, but I'm going to read a portion of this chapter and give a few thoughts. But in the beginning here, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." And we have this encouragement this morning in this psalm, and I know it's very familiar to you, but I'd like to encourage us this morning just simply to do that. Just simply bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Lay aside the weights and the fears and all of those things, the cares, and just simply bless the Lord. Just turn our attention, our hearts, our whole being to the Lord this morning. And we can do that this morning. We can do that. We can just humble ourselves and lay our cares down and simply bless the Lord this morning for his goodness to us. Who can tell the benefits of the Lord this morning? I was thinking that it's a tremendous antidote. I know the world's looking for antidotes for coronavirus, but there's a tremendous antidote for discouragement and fear. Here is simply telling of the benefits of the Lord and of the good things that God has done for us and the good things that God does for us day by day. I was thinking this morning of verse 3. It says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases?" I know Brother Will shared his testimony this morning. The tremendous freedom, the freedom of knowing that my sins are forgiven, of knowing that my sins are gone. Those things that weighed me down all my life and just that weight of guilt and shame and sin and finally it's gone and we can just bless the Lord and it's a joy for those who find salvation. Who redeemeth, verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. You know, I think of that description of God this morning is an amazing one. It's amazing to me that this description, and I believe it to be entirely accurate this morning, that the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And I know this morning that if you grew up with parents who were angry, maybe a father that was angry, or a mother that was impatient, or if you grew up with parents who were maybe perhaps, and all of us are, parents that are less than what we should be, but it may be very difficult for you this morning to see God in this way, that He is merciful and gracious, He is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. And it may be hard for you to see that this morning. It may be hard for us to look at God in that way. But truly, this morning, that's what the Bible says here. And if that, and I think, you know, sometimes we're afraid of those descriptions, and we see a world where the world, many worldly Christians perhaps use those words as an excuse for carelessness and loose living, and if that's, you know, if that's how we are this morning, we simply need to be converted. Verse 9, He will not always chide, neither keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Bless the Lord this morning. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That's amazing thoughts this morning. I just want to share these in opening here. Verse 11, For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. I'll stop reading there. I think of verses 14 to 16, it says that He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. As the wind passes over it and is gone, the place thereof shall know it no more. You know, God sees that. God sees that a lot better than we do. He sees the brevity of our life, the brief moment in which we live, and the brief opportunity we have. And as God looks at that this morning, His focus is on eternity. He's preparing us for life after this. He's desiring that we experience His salvation and His forgiveness in reality. I just say again, bless the Lord this morning. I want to highlight some verses here. In verses 11, 13, and 17, we find this phrase, toward them that fear Him. So great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. And again in verse 17, for the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him. Well, this morning, the true fear of the Lord causes us to worship Him. And I believe this morning, I think of that, the fear of the Lord. We can have a wrong idea of the fear of the Lord. I had when I was younger, I had a fear of God that made me want to just hide from God and to do whatever I could to just hide from God. And I realized this morning that the fear of God is an understanding that we can't hide from God. And it causes us to come to Him, a reverence, an understanding of a loving God that desires that we would come to Him and desire to change our lives. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Verse 17 says, it talks about the everlasting mercies of God. that the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And I had this thought once that, you know, God's mercy is upon every living soul today as he gives them life and breath and he takes care of them. But you know, the mercy for the wicked, the mercy of God will one day expire. And the mercy of God will one day run out as they die and go into a Christless eternity. But for those that fear the Lord, the mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting. And we don't even know, we can't even begin to comprehend what that means, from everlasting to everlasting. Well, we're going to move on here. I'd like to, we're going to consider another aspect of God's mercy this morning, and it's going to, in line of what we read in Hebrews chapter 12, of God's chastening. And we're going to turn to Psalm 107. And we'll get a few thoughts from Psalm 107. As we I'll just read, I'm going to read the first 8 verses here of Psalm 107. It says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." It just blesses me to read that this morning, as Brother Will was doing this morning. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, the good things that God has done for him. "And gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Well, this psalm is unique. It has a very unique pattern to it. As if you read on, we won't read all of it this morning, but this psalm repeats that pattern, I think, 5 times. As it talks about man, and it talks about man being brought to a low place in their life, and then it results in them crying out to God, and then God lifting them up. And as I think of that this morning, I do believe this morning that it's still the way God works. God worked that way in Brother Will's life of allowing him to be brought to a low place and then lifting him up. I'd like for us to think of that this morning, of this in the light of God's mercy. And I don't know if you've thought of it in this way, and you probably have, many of you, but is it possible that the chaos that we're seeing in the world today is simply, is it just very simply the mercy of God upon a wicked and perverse generation that we live in? Is it possible that God is desiring to use this to help men see the futility of going their own way and of living a life without God? As we read on here in Psalm 107, I'll just read. I'm going to read the next section, and then we'll come back and consider some things here. Verse 9, "For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works unto the children of men. And again, we could keep reading, and I won't do that this morning. I'll let you do that later. But again and again in this psalm, we see this cycle. In verse 12 here, it says that he brought down their heart with labor. and they fell down, and there was none to help. It seems like for many, that is the only way they'll ever cry out to God, is if he brings them down, if he allows them to come into a low place. There's a number of verses here. If you can just look at it with me. But verse 6 says, then they cried. Verse 13 says, and then they cried. And verse 19, it says, and then they cry. Verse 28 says, and then they cry. I think of that this morning that, again, I believe that's what God is doing in our day, is to allowing the world to be brought low. Allowing people, I believe it's God's mercy. It's the mercy of God. Because when the world shakes, when things are shaken, when the economy shakes and there's uncertainty and there's fear, some will cry out to God. And not most. I don't believe that most will, but some will. Some will cry out to God. I realize that this is maybe not a popular aspect of God's mercy. Man, we live in a very humanistic age in which people think that it's our right. It's our right to have the best of life now and heaven in the end. And yet this morning it's not a biblical faith. A biblical faith lives for the glory of God wherever God takes us. This aspect that we're going to talk about this morning is God's chastening, his rebuke. And you know, I think this morning that all God has to do to chasten us is to draw back his protection. And we have an enemy. There's an enemy of our soul who is desiring to destroy us. And I think of the example of Job and how the Satan came to Job or came to God and said he would desire to test Job, and God just drew back his protection. And I think this morning of the different response of Job and his wife this morning. Of the wife of Job who had this response that she said, curse God and die. She was not willing to suffer in this way. And Job's response, his faithful response, that though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And so I'm asking the question this morning, could it be that after... in this country and in our generation, where there's just been a time of prosperity for a big share of the world, there's been a time of peace and prosperity. Could it be that God will, in our generation, have mercy on the world? You know, I don't know how far this will go with the virus. We don't know how bad it will get and how many people will die. We don't know. And yet this morning we realize that if you're a Bible scholar this morning, you realize that there's a tremendous shaking coming for the world. And we don't know how soon, and we don't know how all that will cry out. Is this the beginning of some of that? We don't know. But God in heaven has a desire that all men would be saved. And I think this morning, even as the church at large continues to drift, is God desiring to bring a chastening that meant and to call men back to himself, to cause men to cry out to him? And the question is this, I guess, this morning, is what will we do? Will we suffer patiently? Will we see it as it's God's mercy upon the world, or will we chafe under it? Still desiring the comfortable life and the desire for peace and prosperity. Will we suffer patiently? Will we see that it is the divine mercy of God this morning to allow difficulty in this life? Because God has an eternal perspective. He's looking beyond this life. What about us this morning? Maybe God is wanting to cause us to more fervently love his appearing. I think of that this morning. The Apostle Paul, with all the difficulties and and things that he went through, he got to a place in life where he loved the appearing of God, the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. He desired to see the Lord Jesus come. I had a brother shared his thought with me a few days ago, and I was just struck by it. He says that God can still humble a nation. God is still able to humble a nation and to bring it low. But as the people of God this morning, we don't need to wait for God to bring those things upon us. We can choose to humble ourselves. We can humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. It says, the Bible says, he will exalt us in due time. Well, this chapter, Psalm 107, the last two verses, I'd like to just look at the last two verses, verse 42 and 43. It says, the righteous shall see it. Maybe we'll start in verse 41. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Who is wise and will observe these things? Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. This morning, understanding this principle is a key to understanding the loving kindness of the Lord. We're going to move on here. We'll go back to Hebrews 12, where we started here this morning. But it was this passage that I was thinking of this morning in light of the happenings of our day and of our world and the things that we're seeing. The uncertainty of our times. And I thought of this passage, and I'd like for us to get some thoughts from this passage this morning. And I'll just read some verses and then we'll comment on them some. But the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, I was thinking of the encouragement that we have here this morning. That we can look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who was also endured a cross, who also endured a difficult time. And today he is set down at the right hand of God, the Bible says here. The Bible encourages us here to run with patience. The word patience there is endurance, a cheerful endurance, to run with patience. This race, not to be discouraged, not to be fearing, not to be, I thought of the reality of some of these things. That if I know it hasn't been very strong in our local area here, this virus, but the possibility of it affecting some of us, and perhaps even death to even myself or those that we love or those that are dear to us and close to us. And I think of the patience to endure those kind of things, those kind of afflictions, faithfully and with a love and a heart for God. I think this morning we don't really know. We don't really know how all that will transpire. But this encouragement this morning to run with patience, not with fear, not with anxiety, but looking unto Jesus. If you're in Christ this morning, you can look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's not only the author, he's not only the one who died on the cross that we might have faith in him, but he's also the finisher. He's also the one we can look to unto the end, the finisher of our faith. In verses 5 to 11 here that we read earlier, we will reread them. Verse 3, beginning in verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom his father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Wherefore, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh with which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be, not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, which without which no man shall see the Lord. Well, that's the burden. I believe that's the burden of the Lord this morning. And I realize this morning that these verses spoke to me this morning. As I was considering this, and I thought of this passage here, despise not the chastening of the Lord. And I confess to you that when we first started hearing of this coronavirus and these things that are going on, I just sensed that I believe that there was just some sort of a lightness in my heart about it all. There's just some talk about it being a political thing and all of these things that a person can hear as you talk to people. And I realized that I realize now that I wasn't seeing it as a chastening from the Lord and of God allowing confusion into our world. Now, whether that be with a serious sickness, which it seems that it is, or whether that be through corrupt politicians, those things, it's still a chastening from God. It's still God desiring to get our attention and to cause people to turn to him. I believe that we should look at it that way this morning, that we ought to not despise the chastening of the Lord. We ought not to neglect it or to esteem it lightly. You know, we have this tendency to think that, well, my job's still going well. I'm still okay. We're not sick. It's not real close to me. And yet, this morning, is there something God would want to say to me? Is there something God is trying to speak to me and to our congregation or into our world, into our church? Or do we just lightly esteem it and pass it off as something that will just pass by and life will return to normal? And we'll get back to just life in general. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, it says here, nor faint. And the other aspect of this is nor faint when you are rebuked of him. When God chastens, it tells us here that he chastens to us as with sons, not in anger, not in wrath, but he chastens us in love. It tells us here in verse 10, why? That we might be partakers of his holiness. In verse 11 it says, because afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. And so he encourages us to not faint, but to lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. And then straighten out your path is basically what it says here in verse 13. Okay, we're going to just read on here. I'd like to read the remainder of this passage. We're going to start in verse 18 here to the end. For you're not come unto the mount which might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and of the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Speaking of Mount Sinai when the law was given. He's saying that we are not coming into Mount Sinai. But he says, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you're come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And I think of those words this morning, and I think of, he's saying here that you're coming to Mount Zion. We're Christians this morning, those that have been born again. We're Christians, we're citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem, and we have an innumerable company of angels about us. We're part of the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. It says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So Brother Willie experienced, as he shared this morning, that blood of sprinkling, the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus that washes away sin. And it speaks of better things than that of Abel, that cried out for vengeance upon Cain, as Cain had slew him there. And we have a warning here in verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not which refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. You know, on Mount Sinai, when the law is given to Moses, the whole mountain shook and the earth was shaking. It says here, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. And I thought of these verses this morning, and as I was just preparing for this, God is allowing the world to be shaken in our day. And we don't know to what extent at this time. We don't know how this will turn out. But we do realize that according to the scriptures, that there is a much worse shaking coming. That there's a day coming when God will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. And that there's a day coming when the God will bring an end to all these things. And so I think this morning that this shaking that we're seeing today, the shaking that we're seeing today is God's mercy on the world. It just shakes up their lives. It causes men to reevaluate and to reconsider what they're doing with life. It's God calling people to himself. And it shows the futility of many of the things that people are pursuing as they pursue money and reputation and fame and all the things that the pleasure that men are seeking, even though they may be church-going people. They may go to church on Sundays. So I consider all these things. I do want to bring this to a close. But I believe this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to allow God to do a deeper work in my heart. The question that I'm asking myself this morning is that when things are shaking, what do I hold on to? What do I grab for? Is my first thought, do I still have a job? Is my bank account still safe? What do I grab for? My fear is that for too many, and I see this tendency myself, and that's probably why I'm sharing it this morning, I see this tendency that we look to the things that we are used to looking to. We look to the things that we are used to living by. We look to our own resourcefulness. We look to our own ingenuity, perhaps. You know, we're a group of people, and just speaking of the plain people in general, we're a group of people with a good work ethic, and we have abilities, and we have a community togetherness, and these are all good things, wonderful things. They're biblical things. They're things that we should have. But may not these things keep us from being brought low and crying out to God in these times. Despise not the shaking, the chastening of the Lord, the scripture says here. And I think of the one, some of the signs that's where we're at. Some of the signs that's where we're at is that we really don't have a burden for the kingdom of heaven. We are mostly concerned about that my lifestyle is being shaken up. I may have to change, may have to lower my lifestyle. Can I still maintain my comfortability? Will I still be able to pursue the pleasure that I'm used to seeking? You know, if those are the concerns that I'm carrying in my life and it's not really a burden for the kingdom of heaven, then it's not likely that I will allow God to chasten me, that I'll allow God to shake up my life and allow him to do a deeper work in my heart. So that's part of my concern this morning. Verse 27, we're going to move on here. Verse 27 talks about, it says, the things which cannot be shaken may remain. What are the things that cannot be shaken? I was rejoicing in my heart this morning. I was just rejoicing that we have things that cannot be shaken. We have Jesus Christ. We have Jesus Christ who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us lay hold. Let us lay hold of Jesus Christ and be found in him, abiding in him. Maybe I'm here, maybe I'm listening in this morning and I've never found Jesus Christ. I have never surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. I have never yielded to him. I've never been broken. I've never humbled myself before the God of heaven and repented and given my life to Jesus Christ. I can assure you this morning that the shaking that's coming, maybe not now, maybe later, I don't know, but the shaking that's coming will shake you. It will shake you. You won't remain because the only thing that's going to remain is those things that are unshakable. I thought this morning of the Word of God, the Word of God that will stand when even heaven and earth pass away. You know, we have a promise here in the Scripture that not only the earth is going to be shaken, but even heaven, as we know it, will shake one day. And we have the promise, the Lord Jesus said that when heaven and earth pass away, yet not one jot or tittle of the Word of God will pass away, but is fixed, forever settled in heaven. We need to lay hold of the Word of God. Not just hearing it, not just knowing about it, but as our brother Willie shared this morning, but abiding in it, doing the Word of God, allowing it to change me, allowing it to transform my life and bring me into obedience to Christ, bringing my life into a true obedience to Christ and a pursuit. As it says here in verse 14 of our text, to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness is found. Holiness will only come by yielding ourselves wholly to God and wholeheartedly pursuing after his word. You know, I think of the first and great commandment, to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you know, I'll never do that. I'll never be able to do that. I'll never be able to do that if I'm not converted, if I've never been born again, if I've never allowed the Spirit of God to have control of my life. Verse 28 talks us about one more thing that cannot be moved. It says here, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Those who are born again, those who are in the church of Jesus Christ, those whose lives have been changed are part of a kingdom that will endure forever, a kingdom that cannot be moved. It's a kingdom, as it says in Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's a kingdom for the poor in spirit. Those who are brought low can enter in, those who allow Jesus Christ to be their king. Well, the last verse here says it tells us here, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence in godly fear. I'd like to encourage us this morning as believers that there is grace available. The grace of God is sufficient this morning that we can serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Whether that means we live or die, we serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The Bible tells us here, and I just refer back to our text there in the fifth verse, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. It's not God's will this morning that we look at these things that are the shaking that's going on and that we faint and that we get discouraged and that we fear and that we draw nigh to Christ and know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We dare have that faith this morning. We dare have that faith this morning that whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. That's what Paul says. That's what the Apostle Paul said. That was his faith. So may we seek God for that this morning. Okay, well, I have a short list of things here this morning that I'd like to share with you, just some things that the Lord has laid on my heart, just some practical things here this morning that I'd like to just give to you as a blessing. I assume this morning that most of you are doing these things, and I'd just like to encourage you in them. So the first one I have here this morning is the draw together as a family. I was just thinking that we're home. Oh, that we not miss the blessed opportunity we have as God is. We're even required by government to spend some time at home. Make it worthwhile. Don't waste the opportunity to draw together as a family. Unite together. Seek God together. What an opportunity to, the second one here, to restore the family altar. If it's broken down, if it's not been functioning properly, if it's not functioning the way it should, restore it. Use this opportunity to restore it. Don't chafe and wish that I could run out and about and go do this and that and the other thing that I'm used to doing, but take the opportunity. Take the opportunity to seek God together as a family. What a blessed opportunity we have. Take time to pray this morning. I was thinking of, you know, the Bible tells us that there was a plague that came upon the children of Israel that day, Moses looked at Aaron and he said, "Take some incense and run, put some incense on the altar, then stop this plague." And I think of the people of God have the opportunity to unite together and seek God and pray that God would have mercy upon our generation. Next one I have here is find opportunities to serve. I know maybe it's a little limited as you're supposed to be, for the most part, staying at home. But it's easy to pick up the phone and to call someone or to text someone. Or we have all these opportunities for communication. To find opportunities to serve, to be a blessing. Be the kingdom of heaven here on the earth. Next one I have here is be thankful. There's a brother sent me a text this week that says, find one thing to be thankful for, and that one thing will lead you to many more, and you can rejoice in the Lord. And I was thankful for that text. The next one I have here is, we have this exhortation in the book of 1 Peter. It says, rejoice. Rejoice. Let me turn to it here. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. As God looks at these things, he's looking beyond this life. He's looking into eternity, and he has a desire that our faith would be purified and be found as gold at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Rejoice. It says, Peter says here, greatly rejoice. Next one I have here is the thought that came to me is to come back to the simplicity of the gospel. to simply come back, bring our homes back to the simplicity of the gospel. Jesus Christ died on the cross to make an atonement for our sins, and by that price we are purchased. We belong to Him. We belong to Him. We are not our own. Come back to the simplicity of the gospel. We can't have Jesus Christ and the American dream. Oh, that God would shake that out of us. I say that to myself, or for all of us. Come back to the simplicity of the gospel. May the Lord help us to despise not the chastening of the Lord. The next one I have here is not all of you like to read, but I do. I would recommend, take some time, study some history. Consider the lives of those who have been faithful. Consider their trials and their suffering, etc. And allow it to strengthen your faith, knowing that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Oh, the next one I have here this morning is about the last one here. As I have down here, respect authority. Honor authority. And I know that I've found in my life that there's a tendency to make light of our authorities. Maybe we don't go as far as evil speaking, but there's a tendency to certainly do less than honor them. And I'd like to say this morning that it's not the will of God that we do that. Teach our families to honor our authorities. We may not approve of everything they do. We may not approve of their approach to all these things. And yet God is calling them to take care of those things. We have other responsibilities that we're in charge of. Evil speaking is outside of the will of God. And mocking our authorities or being disrespectful is certainly contrary to the will of God. I know that we need a balance in these things, and that we are to obey God rather than man when it's contrary to His word and all of those things. We do need a balance in all of that. But certainly, we're not called to dishonor, disrespect, or disobey in as much as that is not contrary to the word of God. So I just leave that with as an exhortation this morning. I'm not suggesting that any of you have been doing that, but I've seen it in my life, a tendency to disobey. And when we dishonor our authority, we dishonor God. Maybe we just say it that way. We can choose. We can give them honor that is due to them. So I'm going to close, and I believe Brother Solly is going to have a few words here in closing. And I just, again, may God give each of us the grace to be faithful. And in the coming days, in the coming weeks, may you be encouraged seeking God. Use this time. Seek God. Draw close to God. And may God meet you there. I bless each of you.